And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. I am your host, Chip Patterson. Gary Danielson joins us for his regular chat here on the podcast. We, of course, are going to look back at LSU and Alabama, but with so much shifting in the SEC East and Auburn and Georgia coming up for the SEC on CBS, we're all over the place. We're talking Tennessee, we're talking Florida, we're talking Auburn, LSU, Alabama. It is all with Gary Danielson. Make sure that you're subscribed so you get the SEC on CBS podcast first, and enjoy Gary Danielson. Back here on the SEC on CBS podcast, pleased to welcome Gary Danielson back to the show. Gary, I got a chance to speak with you for the Rocket Mortgage recap on the video side of things after the game. But just to come back to LSU and Alabama, what we saw, and one thing that you mentioned right after the game when we got a chance to speak to you, was that this LSU offense right now just doesn't, it's got, I think your quote was, there's just something missing. Right. You know, this was a 10-point game, and this was a LSU defense that was able to aggravate Jalen Hurts a little bit. Just from the LSU perspective, what'd you see, and how does that impact what you're going to think about this team looking down the stretch at a Florida game and a Texas A&M game, the conclusion of their SEC schedule?
Well, I it's hard to turn a battleship around like this in a short time. You know, the LSU has been what they've been for a long time now. You know, they went through numerous springs and fall practices and football games the last two or three years, especially when Leonard Fournette came to LSU and they became an I-formation tailback power football team. In the estimation of LSU, Leonard Fournette was a Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, and their offense had to reflect that. So, you know, with the change from Les Miles, you know, over to Ed Orgeron, even if you want to try to be a little bit different, it's tough to do. I mean, you know, you put a lot of practice hours into the way you play and you recruit the way you play. It's not as easily done as said, as we're just going to spread out and be different. And I'm also hesitant not to put the game on one player. That's not fair at all. But I do feel that the story of the last game, and maybe, you know, maybe two or three out of the last four games, is that, you know, LSU is pretty much matched up with Alabama in 21 of the 22 positions.
Quarterback?
And the quarterback position is just not good enough.
Yeah.
And Danny Etling, you know, I've talked to you this, Chip, since the beginning of the year, that when you play in Alabama, you have to have efficiency at quarterback. Well, if that efficiency is play-action passes, then when you have opportunities, you got to make those throws on the play-action passes. If that efficiency is a part runner, part thrower, you know, you got to gain your 60 yards in running and then hit the passes when they're there. And if you're a pocket player, you got to come up with a few big plays and put the pressure on the defense. And for that game, I just thought there were 3, 4, 5, 7 plays that Danny Etling, the quarterback for LSU, just could not make the play. And they're too hard to beat. Alabama's too good that when you have those 4 or 5 gimme throws for first downs, and we all saw them, and then when you have a couple opportunities deep that, you know, you have 3 or 4 and you can't come up with one. You know, they had one early, but nothing really to change the game. That's just impossible to win the football game. And going a step further, I was asked, I've done a few interviews since the game, and I was quizzed about whether Alabama's new style with Jalen Hurts being different than all the other Alabama quarterbacks, that in that game, was that not the difference? That if Alabama would have had Greg McElroy or Jake Coker, you know, or John Parker or Wilson, would they too not have been able to win the game? And I said, I'm not sure about that, but I am sure about this. They will have tied it.
Yeah. It would have been 0-0. That's what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. And you cannot go into a football game and say, well, okay, the difference is because Lane Kiffin has moved into the new breed of quarterbacks, that if LSU would have moved into the new breed of quarterbacks, I ain't buying it. I got to believe that McElroy would have made a few of those throws. A.J. McCarron would have made a few of those throws. Somebody for the Alabama quarterback has always been the difference in these games. And you can't help but say, both offensive lines got pushed around. Both defensive coordinators had great game plans. Both took away what, you know, like in basketball terms, the guy that wanted to dribble with his right hand, they forced him to go left. LSU could never go left.
Well, that was the fun quote that we were talking about right after the game. Nick Saban said, you know, we couldn't score for three, they couldn't score for four. Like they
totally.
There was there was defensively just not going to be any give, particularly with, like you said, Danny Etling just not being able to make it.
And that's why, Chip, going back, I've had this happen to me before. When the game's not going well and you're the quarterback, you begin to press and think it's me. What's going on here? I can't make a play. I thought that a good move would have been, and I went all the way back to the 2011 championship game for the same thing. That game was a close football game, even though Alabama was dominating, that it would have been good to put the backup quarterback in. And I think it's a win-win either way. If Brandon Harris comes in there and lights a fire and kicks a field goal or manages to get a score, that lights a fire under the game. But even if it doesn't, it relaxes Danny Etling where everybody says, well, at least we know it's not just him. And he can stand back and look out there and take a deep breath and say, okay, you know, now I can go back in. Seeing what the tempo is from the sidelines is helpful. And, you know, I just think as you're a coach, you've got to explore every opportunity to win a football game. And I Les Miles knew what I thought about him in 2011. He did not agree, but I said, Les, you owed your team a chance to put somebody else back in the game. And at that time, it was Jarrett Lee, I thought. And he said, well, he hadn't played good prior. I said, so what? You needed a changeup. And I thought in this game, LSU needed a changeup, especially the way that Etling was taking a beating. Even on the passes he threw, he needed to step away and catch a breath.
What did you think? Or how would you grade Jalen Hurts' performance in this game? There were mistakes early. There was making a lot of plays late with his legs. And there's the belief, at least from what I can tell, within that Alabama coaching staff that this is just only going to continue to progress. And there is a lot more that they are looking forward to seeing in terms of his growth as a quarterback.
I would be alarmed if I was Alabama, to tell you the truth. This game worked well against LSU. But I also think that now there's a tape out there, a blueprint out there on how to force Alabama to play left-handed. And you could tell.
It was play the quarterback, right? Always play the quarterback.
You got to play the quarterback. I said it, that Alabama was zeroed in on number seven. They were not going to let number seven beat him, and they were playing him as the tailback and the running back, and if Danny Etling can beat him, so be it. But LSU was zeroed in on the, not as a quarterback who could run, they were zeroed in on Jalen Hurts as a running back who could throw. And you could tell Alabama, especially after the early turnover, did not feel confident allowing him to go to Ridley and O.J. Howard and all the, you know, throwing a post down the middle of the field is not dangerous. Throwing a crossing route on a bootleg is, and Alabama wouldn't go there. And I really wonder, you know, as Ohio State and Clemson and teams that can press this Alabama football team. I don't know if there's one in the SEC, to be truthful, but in the playoffs, and that's how we measure Alabama now. We don't measure Alabama
against
in regular
the SEC.
Season. We measure Alabama in the playoffs. That for me, I think, listen, I'll give them a B+ in this football game because that's a tough stage and that was a tough football game. But, you know, when you go into the defensive coordinator's office, there's always, you know, signs there. If you score, you may win. But if you shut them out, you can't lose. And that's what Alabama's been doing.
I am fascinated to see moving ahead. And as we sort of look down the rest of the way, I'm with you. I think that right now, Alabama, obviously the one big test remaining, the Iron Bowl against Auburn. We have Mississippi State this weekend, but...
Right. Good luck with that one.
Yeah, we're not going to go into X's O's on that one. We're going to assume Alabama moves out. But Auburn will be in Athens playing against Georgia. Auburn had a couple things happen to them against Vanderbilt. Number one, you have Sean White, late scratch. Jonathan Franklin comes in. Sean White ends up coming in for Franklin to guide Auburn to the victory. And number two, Vanderbilt came out with a lot of unconventional offensive looks that Auburn's defense had not seen. It took them a little while to settle down. Only allowed a field goal after halftime, but still a strange game by my estimation, Gary. What are you looking at when you see this Auburn team going into Athens? Again, as long as they win this game, they remain in a position mathematically to win the SEC West bid to the SEC championship game. Do you give them a fair shot, or are alarms going off for you seeing the instability at quarterback against Vanderbilt?
You're talking the Georgia game or bigger picture here?
Let's go bigger picture for Auburn, and then we'll zero in on this game first.
I do believe they are one of eight teams in college football that still control their own destiny. If they win out, it doesn't matter what the committee says, they're going to be in the playoffs. And if you don't believe me, just hold on, because it's going to happen. They will be there if they win out, because Alabama's not going to lose, and they're going to be the number one team in the country at Alabama. In the SEC championship, they will get a nod. So, yes, they do. Looking at this game, Kyle Shermer did a nice job of keeping the Auburn defense off balance. It was a little bit of a nicked defense, but still they were off balance. He was very efficient, and they did a nice job, as you mentioned, keeping them with play calls, with formations, but with an accurate quarterback keeping them off balance, number one. Number two, they're a salty defense. They really are, and it really became apparent without Sean White in the game, and I watched every play of it because we had the night game, that Auburn was not able to back up Vanderbilt enough to be able to get their running game going. And then when Sean White came in, threw a pass right away, and all of a sudden, I don't want to say the dam burst, but you could see the Auburn attack take shape. Now, I've been dead wrong here. I never thought this Gus Malzahn Auburn style of running attack, and it's very unique. It's a shade different than what Navy's doing from the shotgun. I mean, they run more than any team, but than Georgia Tech in the Power Five conferences. That's what they are, and I never thought they could do that without a running quarterback. But Sean White has shown, and by the way, Gus Malzahn always has told me, give me an efficient quarterback, and I'll figure out a way how to make my offense go. And Sean White has shown that. And it's a word that I use all the time. Fans don't like to use it. They want highlights. Coaches want dependable quarterback play. Give me something I can depend on, and I can craft an offense around it. The Greg McElroy, the Matt Flynn's, Wilton Speet for Michigan right now. I mean, Wilton Speet couldn't start for 20 teams in college football, but at Michigan he's perfect because they know what he does, and he can produce. Okay, so Sean White is making this thing go. They're very unique, and if they get you off balance, they can get you chasing your tail just the way Notre Dame lost to Navy. So they have a chance. It worries me a little bit about their injuries with Petway and stuff like that, but I'd have to see it to believe it. But I'll say this: if Sean White can give the game of his life, he can give a Steven Garcia game against Alabama, it's going to be a dogfight. Because you're going to have to go about 17 for 22 to really stretch this Alabama defense and allow the running game for Auburn to take care. Because I'll tell you, the Auburn defense is legit. They will give Alabama some problems.
They're good up front.
Absolutely.
Lawson, three Adams.
Difference makers on the line. Adams, Russell, and Lawson. Three difference makers.
Really, really good team right there. Now, as they go into Athens, now let's turn our attention just to the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia gets a narrow win against Kentucky.
Right.
They are playing at home. This is a rivalry game. The odds makers have this as a double-digit game, and just everything that I think about Auburn and Georgia, am I out of line to think that this is going to be one of the this is going to be a performance where I would hope that Kirby Smart can get this Georgia team to be playing some of its best football, because to lose to your cross-division rival in November at home badly would not be a good look in what has already been a frustrating season for a lot of Georgia fans.
If I was Gus Malzahn, I'd want to play 10 other teams in the SEC rather than Georgia this week.
Really?
I don't like the fact that Kirby Smart has faced me in big-time pressure games before. I think that he is very attuned on how to attack my offense. And if you look at Georgia's defense, they're really coming on with a lot of young athletes in the defensive line. You know, they're all across. Bellamy, Trenton Thompson, Jonathan Ledbetter is emerging right now. John Atkins is a good player. Hawkins Muckle was injured a little bit, but I understand he's going to try to go. Julian Rochester is coming on. They have 6, 7, 8 defensive linemen that are very athletic, very young, but will be able to be kept fresh in this game. I think they tackle very well at linebacker. I think that should be a really tough game, and I like the fact that I got a quarterback that maybe we can't run the ball on him all day, although I think the commitment to running again like they did a week ago in Kentucky has paid off, but he can strike any part of the field at any time, and it should keep that secondary from Auburn from sniffing around. I think this will be a tremendous victory for Auburn if they should do it, and I know that Kirby Smart will have his team ready for this game.
Wow, that game is the 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff. The SEC on CBS live from Athens. Gary will be there. Vern Lundquist, Allie LaForce, the whole gang. It is the second part of an SEC on CBS doubleheader coming up this weekend. And Georgia, though, out of the SEC East race.
Right.
But boy,
well, there's a scenario where this whole East could end up 4-4. I mean, it's not that far-fetched. Really,
okay, well, I favor Tennessee over Kentucky, and I think that you need Kentucky over Tennessee for the 4-4, the total chaos. And with Alvin Kamara coming back,
I think A&M's going to lose a game, and I really think you're looking at, when this thing is done, it's going to be Alabama most probably undefeated and everybody else with at least 3 losses.
Ah, goodness gracious. Fall is here, and that means it is time for some fall vegetables, some fall options from our good friends at Blue Apron. My wife Parker and I had the crispy chicken with mashed potatoes and collard greens just last night, and we've got pork chops coming tonight. It is fully fall in swing here at the Patterson household. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And yes, that even means you. You can get in on the pan-seared chicken with roasted fall vegetables and butter caper sauce with this spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir fry with sweet potato noodles. And you can get in on it with a special deal just for the SEC on CBS podcast listeners. So check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free. That's right, with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/SEC. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/SEC. 3 meals free with free shipping. blueapron.com/SEC. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Goodness gracious. South Carolina will be going to play Florida. Florida, no. Man, this is just a nightmare scenario for the Florida Gators. You lose Luke Del Rio, but more importantly, in my opinion, Alex Anzalone, veteran linebacker, Jared Davis banged up. CeCe Jefferson, game time decision. South Carolina's got 3 wins in a row behind Jake Bentley. He's got 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, but you know that is
and a tough nosed head coach coming back home.
Where are you looking at this South Carolina Florida game?
It's hard to look at this game and not go a little bit backwards and wonder, what is wrong with Florida?
Yeah.
I mean, since 2009, when Tim Tebow has left, and it's not like they're in Iowa recruiting players. There's athletes all over this state that's playing everywhere, and Florida cannot find an offense. They haven't had an offense since 2009. And it's almost impossible to believe that, you know, that school, that franchise, where Urban Meyer, you know, almost reinvented Florida football the way he did it with his spread running attack and the, you know, the run pass attack of Tim Tebow, and then the fun and gun
that really recreated
the SEC conference with Spurrier. And now they're going on, what, 6 years, 7 years that they cannot find an offense. And they're going to be in the spot that they were a year ago. And it was ugly a year ago at the end when they had trouble making first downs at the end of the year.
See, I wonder in this spot, because Florida, if it were to fall to three conference losses, does not have the head-to-head advantage against Tennessee.
Totally. Nope. Yeah, and I, you know, you think they're going to beat LSU at LSU?
Mm-mm. Not right now.
There's nothing I can do by picking the game, but you couldn't get me to. Maybe a couple weeks ago I would have thought that, but right now, you'd be impossible to pick Florida over LSU.
That's incredible. All right, Tennessee gets Alvin Kamara back. Yes. We might be getting Cameron Sutton back. Do you think that there is reason for optimism that Tennessee presented a second chance at the goal? And I think I could pull up an old clip. I apologize. I should have just played it for you, but it was you, Gary, saying that the whole season for Tennessee has all been about getting to Atlanta. Now, they need to win three games, and they haven't played perfectly, and they did lose to South Carolina. Do you think that Tennessee is going to be able to take advantage of this second chance to get to Atlanta?
You know what I'm concerned about is just the kind of the makeup of Josh Dobbs right now. You know, he just is up and down, and, you know, I question it. I do think that the fact that Jalen Hurts has finally washed out, I got to believe that was a troublesome thing within that locker room. He had to be talking to his friends how unhappy he was. I think it produced tension. I think that that finally came to a head is going to relax the football team. So, yes, I do think that they're going to take care of business. We'll have them the next week against Missouri, which should not be a problem for them. Missouri doesn't put enough defense on the field. So I would say yes. But, boy, you know,
the SEC East is an infirmary.
Trying to figure out what Tennessee does every week is not an easy job. But I would say right now that Tennessee will be the team that goes to Atlanta. That's my prediction.
Going back to the West, before we let you go, Gary, LSU's next test is against a rejuvenated and a refreshed Arkansas Razorbacks team. This was good performance from Raleigh Williams, good performance from freshman back Devoir Whaley.
Yep.
This Arkansas team starting to look a little bit feisty and a little bit snappy. Is it a case similar to maybe 2014 where we are seeing a Brett Bielema team get better as the year goes on to the point where it's playing its best football in November?
Always happens, and I think too much weight was given to the Auburn game. Like I said, they're not a wishbone team, but they're wishbone similar, where you get frustrated playing against them. You want to hit somebody, and they're always finessing you and window dressing you, and all of a sudden, it's almost like you want to, you know, like when you're playing pinball and you want to break the glass. You're so upset. You know, it's just that, like you throw the game down. So, yes, I think Brett's a really good football coach. His teams usually respond in November, and I suspect they will. And there's always been the hangover from this Alabama game for LSU. They were all in for this football game. Ed Orgeron is depending on his team and his leaders to get through this, but they have a lot of veteran players that came back to beat Alabama. You know, now we'll see. Leonard Fournette is saying that he's nicked. How much will he go in this game? How will it be? If you had to put me against the wall to say to win, I think LSU's got a little bit too much talent. But, boy, Ogeron's balance on offense, and they're pretty pretty tough on that front seven on defense. They're going to give LSU a problem. That's going to be a really tight, good football game.
He is Gary Danielson. He will be on the call along with Vern Lundquist and Ali LaForce in Sanford Stadium between the hedges for Auburn at Georgia. It is a great, great November cross-divisional rivalry between these two teams. Gary, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the game, and we will be listening for your call.
All right, thanks, bud.